and I'm going to get her to sing just later on. Book of Revelation, chapter 14. I don't need really to do any preaching after hearing that. It's a wonderful testimony, sister, and it was a real challenge to us, really, to get right with God. But in Revelation, chapter 14, with the Word open before us, we're just going to spend a few moments, bring this meeting to a conclusion by bringing you to the Word of God and to the book of Revelation. With the Bible open before you, let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for what our ears have heard tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is. Thank you for the grace of God in her life. And what a wonderful change in her life has been wrought since Jesus came into her heart. Lord, bless her. And Lord, we pray that you'll bring her parents to her Savior and the rest of her family to this wonderful Savior that she has so wonderfully testified about this evening. Now, Lord, as we meditate for a few moments upon the Word of God, may the meditations of our hearts, the words of this preacher's mouth, Lord, may it be acceptable in thy sight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have here a great final harvest. And it tells us this great harvest is coming at the end of time. If you look with me at verse 15 of Revelation chapter 14. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come to reap." Some folks say to me, why does God allow this immorality, this injustice, this iniquity? Why does he allow it to continue? Why does he not cut it off? Well, I would simply say this evening and remind you that God works according to his own timetable. And you will notice there is a time when it will all end. It says, for the time is come. And God is not behind time. And God is not running late as far as the end time is concerned. God will come back again to reap a mighty harvest on this earth. And he'll come back again in his time. I wonder tonight if this would be the time when he would come back again. You say, preacher, I don't think he'll come back tonight. I would say that everybody in this meeting is saying to themselves, I don't think it's the time for the Lord to come back again. But you know what the Bible says, for in such an hour as ye think not. In such an hour as you think not. The Son of Man cometh. And you're thinking tonight he'll not come back. You know what the Bible says? Just then the Lord could come back. And I want you to note who it is that is coming back in verse 14 with me of chapter 14. And John in the Isle of Patmos has been exiled for the cause of Christ. And he's alone with the Lord and he's in the Spirit on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day. And the Lord comes to him. And he tells them here what's going to happen at the end time. Can I say that at the end time, Jesus Christ is coming back again? There's a lot of things in this world that we're not sure about. But can you be absolutely sure? And can I say to you, you can be absolutely sure that Jesus is coming back again. And he's coming back sooner than you and I think. And when we look across the world today, we can see all the signs that point to the soon and the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 14. And I looked, here's John, and he says, "Behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man." There it is, a picture of Christ, having on his head not a crown of thorns. Not a crown of thorns. Notice what it says. On his head, a golden crown. That's the crown of a king. And when Jesus comes back again, he's coming with power. He's coming with authority. He's coming for the destruction of this world. And in his hand in verse 14, you will notice, he has a sharp sickle. Now, let me tell you something. He's going to come back in the cloud. And you know, that's exactly the way the Lord ascended. You remember, after he died on the cross and he shed his precious blood, do you remember the agony of the cross? And he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And do you remember he died? Just before he died, he cried, it is finished. And they took him from the cross and they put him in the tomb. And then the third day, which was the first day of the week, or Sunday, or Lord's Day. That's why we worship the Lord on tomorrow. Because that was the day 2,000 years or so ago that Jesus arose from the dead. But he didn't immediately go to be with the Father. You remember? Do you remember? He spent some time here on earth. And if you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 1, you can see that he gathered on the Mount of Olives. The book of Acts chapter 1. He gathered on the Mount of Olives with some of his disciples. And he's about to go and leave. He's been on the earth for 40 days. He's now about to go to be with the Father. And here he is in verse 10 and 11 of chapter 1. And while they looked steadfastly, that is the disciples, toward heaven, as he went up, well, just look at verse 9 with me, chapter 1, just to bring it into the context. And when he had spoken these things, that is, Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. I want you to note how he was taken up. And it says, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10 now, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Notice what it says. This same Jesus, not another Jesus. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven. Notice what it says. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. How did he go up into heaven? Look at verse 9 with me. A cloud received him out of their sight. How is he returning? Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. It tells us there, he's coming in a white cloud. White speaks of purity. White speaks of holiness. He's coming back again just the same way that he left. And he's coming back for a mighty harvest. And he's coming for a great time of reaping, the gathering in of the harvest. And at that harvest, can I tell you something? As Revelation chapter 14, it tells us this evening, he's coming for a time of great separation. He's coming to separate the chaff from the wheat. You've heard a marvelous testimony tonight. You're a Protestant in this meeting. Do you think you're going to heaven because of your Protestantism? You're a free Presbyterian maybe tonight in this meeting. Do you think you're going to heaven because you're a free Presbyterian? Maybe tonight you're not in Christ. Maybe tonight you're not saved. Maybe tonight you're not born again. Maybe tonight you're not washed in the blood. You've gone through the ritual of Protestantism. You've been christened as a child. Maybe you've been baptized. Makes you a bit wetter, but it'll not make you any better. Maybe you have your name on the communion roll. You might as well have it on a sausage roll. And when Jesus comes back again, he's coming. That's what it says in Revelation. Turn with me, Revelation chapter 14. He's coming for a time when he'll thrust in the sickle. And it says that in verse 16, and he that sat on the cloud, this is the Son of Man, this is Christ coming back again on the first occasion when he came to this earth. He came for salvation. He came to offer you and I the gift of eternal life. Have you received it? But when He's coming back again, it's a time of great separation. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke with me. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Just quickly, I know time is pressing on. We're looking here at the coming of Christ, just to get it into context. And here the disciples or the Pharisees have been demanding of God, of Christ, when the kingdom will come. And you will notice in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 24, here's what the Lord says. Here's speaking of His second coming. And I want you to note what it says in verse 24, "For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day." For as lightning, He's coming as lightning. I had the privilege of going to Florida just at the end of August this year. And the temperatures were exceedingly high. Sometimes it was over 100 degrees. And sometime during the day, just the clouds would overcast the sky and almost blot the sun out. And then suddenly, there would be a huge flash. It would lighten and illuminate all the sky. You would see it. But you know, when Jesus Christ comes back again, oh, He's going to fill the sky with His glory. And He'll come with such splendor that it will illuminate the whole heavens. And I'll tell you something. Do you know the phrase? Do you know the saying, as quick as lightning? When He comes back again, He's coming back not only with splendor, but He's coming back again suddenly. Suddenly. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Just keep your finger in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul here, of course, Paul in that epistle to the Thessalonians, he would speak often of the second coming of Christ. We don't hear it today. But the doctrine of eschatology is a great doctrine. Jesus is coming back again, let me remind you. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That's speaking about when Christ comes back. And then he's speaking here in verse 52, "In a moment." In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're talking about Christ coming back as lightning. That's about the suddenness of His coming. He's coming in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, "for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be all changed." In a moment. If I could turn you to the Greek New Testament, and I would read this in Greek. That word "in a moment" means "in atomos," from which we get our English word "atom." What's an atom? An atom is a small, imperceivable particle that you cannot see it with a natural eye. You need a microscope to examine an atom. We have the atomic bomb today and all those things and the devastating effect. You know what the Lord says? In a moment, in an imperceivable moment, He'll come back again, just before you realize it, in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming with splendor. He's coming suddenly. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This chapter 4 is all sometimes read to comfort the bereaved. And I have read this passage often over the last few weeks and months. I buried quite a number of our people in our congregation. Just the other day, I buried one of the foundation members of our congregation, 94 years of age. But just over the past few weeks, I've buried people who have been 47 years of age.
And you know I've read this passage, but I would not, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16 says this, for the Lord himself, notice what it says, emphasizing it again, the Lord himself, nobody else. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'll tell you something. You think Philip Millen shouts? Well, a shout nothing like the shout will be in the second coming of Christ. You know that word shout actually is a very alarming cry. Just as the officer on horseman's parade, you know, there, the tripping of the colour, you know, the commanding officers shout very loud that all the commanders and all the troops would hear. He's not coming silently, you know. Some people believe in a silent rapture. You might believe in that. I'll not differ with you, but I don't believe in a silent rapture. I remember when I was working in Cool Rain, and I was in at the work, and this fella come rushing into the work, and he said, Philip, I'm glad to see you. He was out of breath. I says, why? This fella was a believer. He says, you know, when I was coming in, he was a Baptist. Pardon the expression, but he was a Baptist. And he come rushing into the work, and he said to me, you know, when I was coming here, he said, I couldn't see any believers that I knew would normally meet. I says, why is that? He says, you know, if the Lord had come, it had taken every believer away and I'd been left. But I'm glad to see you because I know you're a believer. Well, I had to reassure him that I don't believe in the silent rapture. I believe, you know, when you and I, when Jesus comes back again, you'll know about it. He's coming with a shout. And I'll tell you this, Revelation chapter 1, turn with me just quickly, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And it says in verse 7, I want you to note this, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. There again, how the scripture's tied up there, isn't it? Revelation 14. Acts chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Notice what it says. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. You know something? If you're not saved, you'll see him that day. Too late. Notice what it says. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. It's going to be a day of great wailing. Oh dear, what a day it's going to be when the sickle is thrust in and the angels are gathering in the harvest. Turn back with Luke to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I said that when Jesus comes back again, it's going to be a great harvesting. It's going to be a time of great separation. Time of great separation. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 34. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two in one bed. Luke, chapter 17, verse 34. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Look at verse 35. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 36. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. It's a time of great separation. Two shall be together, sleeping calm and still. Two shall be together grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left behind. Stay. Will you be ready when he comes? Do you know all around us we see the harvest is gathered in? There's going to be a great separation. Tell me this. Are you the wheat or are you the chaff? Are you the wheat or are you the tares? Let me ask you, are you saved? Because if you're not saved, you're lost. You're lost already.
you're lost already. You're lost in your sins, shaping in iniquity. And when Christ comes back again, he's going to gather in the sheaves. Do you know what it says in verse 32? Look, chapter 17, verse 32. Here's just the characteristic of the end time age. In the midst of the context of the second coming of Christ, you will notice in Luke chapter 17, it says, remember Lot's wife. Why? Do you ever think why it says that? In the midst of the coming again of the Son of Man, why does it say, remember Lot's wife? Why does it say that? Because I'll tell you something, the characteristic of the end time age is this. It's an age when people will be like Lot's wife. They'll perish. Remember Lot's wife, why? Because she perished. And why did she perish? Why did she perish? I'll tell you why. Because of the hardness of her heart. Do you know she was prayed for? Do you know she was pleaded for? Do you know that she had a godly uncle through marriage called Abraham who prayed for her? Do you know that? Do you know that the very angels of God went down into the cities and laid hands on her? I'll tell you, that's an honor. You know, Rossing. Coming from a Protestant background. And I'll tell you what a privilege that is. I can tell you that's a privilege. But you know, we've become hardened to the gospel. We've heard it so often and so often that now we don't listen to it anymore. Do you know, Colin Tinsley came back from Poland and he told me, and I've told our prayer meeting here on a Tuesday night, you know, when he came back from, went out to Poland to spread the gospel, the people in Poland, and there's a Polish uprising, a spiritual uprising in Poland. People are turning to Christ. Roman Catholic people are turning to Christ. And you know, they couldn't get over it that Colin Tinsley would come out there and bring the gospel. They were exhilarated by it. They were so excited that someone would come and bring the word to them. Doesn't excite us anymore, sure does it? Doesn't it? The gospel doesn't excite us anymore. I can tell you something. You see, when I get saved, I was excited about the gospel. You know, I used to think in my young days that if I went out and spoke to everybody about the Lord, they would get saved. They would get saved. Remember Lot's wife? 1953, Princess Victoria. Some of you might remember her. She was the ship that sailed from Stranraer to Larne, and she perished. She perished. She sunk just off the coast of County Down. She went down. She perished. And you know, on board that ship, quite a few people were rescued, but some of them weren't rescued. And one that perished was a woman. And people drew up on the lifeboat and they begged her to get off the ship that was sinking and get in the lifeboat. You know what she said? And you can read the story. She said, I'm too old. I'm too old. And then they pleaded with her still yet. And she says, no, no. All I've got's in my handbag. Everything's in my handbag. Can I tell you something? She went down and clutching onto her handbag. You know what was in her handbag? 1953. Everything she had, £900. And she perished because of £900. And you know why Lot's wife perished? Because everything she had was up in the world, down in the world, down there. And all the pull. And all the attraction of the world, she couldn't give it up. She looked back. Do you know why some of you are not saved? Rush in heaven in the head tonight. And you don't have the pull that she had. She had the pull of her wee son. She had the pull of her wee son. Some of you know all that, all the thing that's holding you back is the old butts. The old butts and the old booze and the bookies. Three things, the butts, the booze, and the bookies. And that's what's keeping you back. And you're prepared to sell your soul
those things. Can I say to you tonight, when Christ comes back again, they that were ready went in and the door was shut. Tell me this, are you ready? Are you saved? Are you born again? May God bless his word to our hearts. I'm going to ask our sister Gail if she'll come and bring her final message.